Now, see, my grandson was thinking of me. He knew I needed something up. I needed something to play with up here. Thanks, Oliver. I can play with him today? Yes. Do you want it? Good job. I found it. Good job. What do they call him? The yellow thing. You remember, we had Gumbies. You remember Gumby? The green guy. And he was just like him, but it was green. So now they have the, whatever they call that guy. Banana guy, I don't know. Alright, so this morning, okay. This is gonna be like way off course on some of my jokes this morning, but Justin and his in-laws will understand it. And just think about this. So his in-laws get featured in all sorts of fun events whenever I can lay a joke out on Tim. I try to do that. So this past week I started making up some jokes and they kind of rolled into, well, I'm going to do that, roll these into some church stuff too. So anyhow, so Tim is going to know this joke, but I'll let you. What do you call an owl that crawls on the ground and is good for your skin? I added that. Hello. Okay. So then I went into this. What is an owl's favorite subject in school? Algebra, very good. Okay, I knew you'd get it if you thought long enough. What do you call an owl that is good at magic tricks? Houdini. Yep, exactly right. All right, so. this morning I know all of you really enjoyed those jokes. So, it took me off of course, but just to let you on a little inside thing. So Tim loves to barbecue and he has this barbecuer, like he did pigs and he does all sorts of stuff. So he has this big barbecuer that he brought down and left by our drive by Justin's house. And this thing was sitting there, you know, it's a tow behind. And I knew it was going to be there for a week and I was, he's going to fire that thing up next week. So I'm like, what can I do to really freak him out when he opens the lid up? So it wasn't locked or anything. This neighbor was looking for like a body to put in there, right? But I couldn't find one. The neighbor on the road had the skeleton sitting outside. So I grabbed the skeleton head and I put it into his barbecue. So when he opened up the lid, there's this, I think I have a video of it too. He opened up the lid. There's this skull looking at him. But anyway, that's not why we're at church, but. So this past week, we had some really good rulings. So the Supreme Court ruled this past week. Have you listened to any of some of the rulings? So praise God for, number one, for our country and our Constitution and our founding fathers that set a course for our Constitution with our Bill of Rights. So that was upheld this past week. The Supreme Court voted on an issue about parents being able to opt their students out of classes in public education, because what happened here in Maryland, there's a case that came up that these students and so our religious rights were upheld, which is huge, right? Very big in our society. So, and this just wasn't for Christians, right? This was for these people involved in this lawsuit against the school were Catholics, Orthodox, and Muslims, all involved in this lawsuit against their religious rights because they were the students were being forced into classes that was promoting transgenderism that was promoting LGBTQ XYZ type stuff, and they were promoting same-sex marriage more than traditional marriage, and like, and these people were opting out, saying, "This is nuts. We do not believe in this. We don't think it's right, and we're taking our students out of class." So that went all the way up to the Supreme Court. And I wanted to read this ruling. So one of our Supreme Court judges said the following. She was a no vote. Like, she said, no, they don't have the right to do it. I'm like, what don't you read in our First Amendment, right, of our Bill of Rights? And so this is what she said, because she disagreed with the decision. She said, requiring schools to provide advance notice and the chance to opt out of every lesson plan or story time that might implicate a parent's religious beliefs will impose impossible administrative burdens on schools. First Amendment, a burden on schools. I mean, come on, right? So that was a huge advancement for our constitutional rights this week. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for godly people within our government. We thank you for godly men that formed a constitution for us based upon our rights that we have as people under you. Lord, we know that you are the supreme high authority, and you tell us that we're supposed to obey law and authority, and we do. And Lord, we also know that the human authority and law does not bypass your authority and your word and how you want us to live according to your standards, Lord. Help us to live that way. Help us to walk and live in your standards, Lord, as people. And I pray for that. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Help us as we dig into this topic this morning. In your name, pray, amen. So last week we jumped in and we were talking about Ezekiel 38, right? So I wanted to kind of go back, and it's going to be an overview of Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39. It's the prophecy of Ezekiel that we talked about, where you remember where we said that they say Russia, the countries from the north and all these countries that will rise up against Israel, and it's like the hooks were jammed into a horse's jaw, and they're bringing them down, and like, you can't stop it. And that's what we're starting to look at, because all this stuff now going on in Israel that we're watching now, there's supposed to be another peace treaty, and hopefully that upholds, right? We want peace, but all this stuff is taking place. So do a little bit of reading, and a lot of times, and I studied a lot this week on these specific two chapters, and yeah, it's still the same type of thing. People like to debate, and all they want to debate about is when this is going to take place, right? They say, when this is going to take place, it's going to be here, it's going to be here, it's going to be here, and there's this debate back and forth, going back and forth, back and forth. And I'm just like, okay, I don't want to look at when it's going to take place. I know it's going to take place sometime. God tells us it's going to take place. My question that I wanted to look at was why. Why was this prophecy given, and for what purpose? Because a lot of times, and I ask God a lot of things a lot of times, because I just, like, I read something in Scripture. For instance, at the flood, right? So humanity was so bad that God said, I'm destroying the world, but I'm going to let this family live because they're righteous, they're following me, if we know Noah. But I'm just like, well, okay, if you're destroying the world, Lord, it's your call, it's your God, why not, and I'm not being blasphemous, or this is just, but why not start it back up then and take that sin away? You see what I'm saying? It's like, but God is God, and he has people created with free will, and that free will stands in humanity, and same with Sodom and Gomorrah. you destroy this city. And we know that God could cut this stuff off instantly, but he has a purpose. And that purpose, and a lot of times God tells me, Jeff, don't be an idiot. Just listen to what I tell you. You know, just, I have a plan, right? That's so many times I hear God tell me that. Just, I have a plan. Okay, Lord. So, Ezekiel 38. We're going to jump around in here. And it's a lot of reading. 38 and then a lot of 39 is the same thing. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man. Set your face against Gog, which we talked about as a man, on the land of Magog, the chief priest of Meshech and Tubal. Prophesy against him and say, what? And this is something that I want you all to hear this, okay? Because it's used multiple times throughout scripture. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, O Gog, chief priest of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn you around, put hooks in your jaw, and bring you out with your whole army, your horses, your horsemen, fully armed, and a great horde with large and small shields, all of them brandishing their swords. Persia, Cush, and Put will be with them, and all the shields and helmets, also Gomer with all its troops, and Beth Togarmath from the far north with all its troops and many nations against you. Get ready, be prepared. You and all your hordes gather around you. And we talked about that, right? Jumping down to verse 10. This is what the sovereign Lord says. On that day, thoughts will come into your mind and you will devise an evil scheme. Talking to Gog. Verse 11. You will say, I will invade a land of unwalled villages. I will attack a peaceful and unsuspecting people, all of them living without walls and without gates and bars. I will plunder and loot and turn my hand against the resettled ruins and the people gathered from the nations, rich in livestock and goods, living at the corner, at the center of the land. Jumping down to verse 14. Therefore, son of man, prophesy to say to Gog, this is what the sovereign Lord says. And this is the sovereign Lord. Okay, God is speaking this out in the verse, in chapter 38 and 39. The sovereign Lord is said, this is what the sovereign Lord says in verse 3, in verse 10, in verse 14, in verse 17, and then in chapter 39, it jumps into verse 1. Verse 17 and verse 25. Do you think that the sovereign Lord is trying to say something here? Right? So God continues to tell Ezekiel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Write this down. Okay, there's something going on here. And my question is, why? Why? Is this such why is this such a need to know, right? Why? Where did I leave off? Sorry. Verse 16 and 38. You will advance against my people Israel like a cloud that covers the land. In the days to come, O Gog, I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me when I show myself holy through you before their eyes. That's kind of like the basis point of this whole, this in 39:17. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Are you not the one I spoke of in former days by my servants, the prophets of Israel? At that time, they prophesied for years, that I will bring you against them. This is what will happen in that day. When Gog attacks the land of Israel, my hot anger will be aroused, declares the sovereign Lord. In my zeal and fiery wrath, I will declare at that time that there shall be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish of the sea and the birds of the air, the beasts of the field, and every creature that moves along the ground, and all the people on the face of the earth will tremble at my presence. The mountains will be overturned. The cliffs will crumble and every wall will fall into the ground. I will summon a sword against Gog, all my mountains, declares the sovereign Lord. Every man's sword will be against his brother. I will execute judgment upon him with plague and bloodshed. I will pour down torrents of rain, hailstone, and burning sulfur on him and his troops, on the many nations with him. And so I will show my greatness and my holiness, and I will make myself known in the sight of many nations. Then they will know I am the Lord. Chapter 39 of this prophecy. Son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, this is almost like a repeating of 38. This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, O Gog, chief priest of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn you around and drag you along. I will bring you from the far north and send you against the mountains of Israel. Then I will strike your bow from your left hand and your bow, and make your arrows drop from your right hand. On the mountains of Israel, you will fall. You and all your troops and the nations with you, I will give you as food to all kinds of carrion birds and to the wild animals. You will fall into the open field, for I have spoken, declares the sovereign Lord. I will send fire on Magog and those who live in safety in the coastlands, and they will know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, this is the crux. I will make known my holy name among my people Israel. I will, this is God, God, the sovereign Lord says, I will no longer let my holy name be profaned, and the nations will know that I, the Lord, am the Holy One in Israel. It is coming. It will surely take place, declares the sovereign Lord. This is the day I have spoken of. And then it continues to go on. Just a lot of reading. We'll stop there for now. So this future invasion we talked about as we watch Iran, and we know that, we send in these bombs, which that's a whole nother thing. I started to read about how these bombs work. It's those bunker buster bombs. It's pretty amazing. It took 15 years, 20 years to develop that technology for those bombs. But anyway, as an engineer, not that I am, but people of the engineering mindset would love to see how that, kind of compressed. But anyhow, this prophecy that people, and scripture tells us that Israel and the prophets and people have been speaking of these events for years. For years. At the time that these nations will rise up and they'll be pulled into Israel. And I'm thinking to myself, Lord, why are you, now you love Israel, you love your people. So my question was, why are you doing this? Once again, why don't you just have your people, Israel, follow your commandments, right? But God says, I give people free will. And which we know of free will, which we know of humanity, and the same is with all of us, the same with Gentiles and Israelis and Arabs and everybody else, and people have a free will and they choose to do what they want. So Israel then was called, they were scattered, right? They were scattered and they came back to the nation of Israel. And a lot of Israelis and Jews are still coming back to Israel. But for this to take place, there has to be a peace. We see that Israel will be living in a time of peace when this takes place. And we look at Israel now and we think, okay, there's some peace there, but what was just happening with God? Is that peaceful? No, they're battling, right? There's still walls and divisions within Israel that they're not walking around freely. They in some spots they are, but as a country, as a nation, there's still a lot of division and stuff that's taking place in the West Bank and Gaza and all this stuff in Israel. And Scripture is very clear that there's going to be a peaceful time. Okay, so then they had this battle going with Iran, which we know that's Persia that will be coming down with Russia to attack Israel when there's peace. Okay, so I see what's going on. Could we be watching now these battles that are taking place to build up for a peaceful time, right? We have a president in office now that's calling for peace. I want peace, 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 peace. Peace with Gaza. Peace within the West Bank. Peace within the Israel. Calling for peace, which then we talked about before about the Abraham Accord, right? That's this building of this peaceful, a peaceful contract among Israel and the Jews with Palestine and Muslims. And it's now they're talking about after this bombing that more countries will be interested in joining the Abraham Accord, which is calling for peace in the whole Middle East region. Could that be the startup where Israel will live in peace under this Abraham Accord? I don't know, right? But it could be. It could be. So that's why I say, I don't know the details. But my question was, if Israel's living in peace, don't you think God would be like, hey, finally, my nation's living in peace? But that's not the case. Right? It's not the case. The case is Israel as a nation needs to be judged. So they're living in peace. They're living a peaceful time here. And the judgment will take place. I'm going to pull out verse 39:22-23. God says, I'm going to start at 21. I will destroy my glory among the nations. I will display my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see the punishment I inflict and the hand I lay upon them. From that day forward, the house of Israel will know that I am the Lord their God. And the nations will know that the people of Israel went into exile for what? For their sin. Because they were unfaithful to me. So I hid my face from them and handed them over to their enemies. And they all fell by the sword. I dealt with them according to their uncleanliness and their offenses. And I hid my face from them. Israel. This judgment's coming because what happens many times in a time of peace, we see it within our own nation. You know, our nation was founded on biblical principles and our nation walked and advanced in a way that was honoring that. The people of our country wanted to honor God, and we had churches all over, and there's people that were trying to follow the Lord and live by biblical principles. And then what happens over time? We see it happening, and we're in it now in a post-Christian society in many aspects. But people become what? They have their needs met. Their needs met. They have money in their pocket. What do I need God for? You know, and that's like Israel. They have this time of peace going on. And they have the food they need, and they have the water they need, and they have crops growing, and things are profitable. And all of a sudden they're like, what do I need God for? I have everything I need. But God says, stop. I'm doing this. God, when God says this is what I'm doing, the reason why he's doing it is for what the message title is, so God will be known. God's doing this. He's judging Israel because they were unfaithful. They were sinful, just like Jesus the Messiah came for us because what? Our sinful life, our sin, we're unfaithful and we're dirty and we're sinners and we need Jesus Christ to have salvation. And God's saying this with Israel, I threw you in exile. I'm going to bring you back and I'm going to defend you and I'm going to destroy all these armies that are coming in to attack you. But you're going through this. Why? Because you people, and he talks about it a lot of times, right? They're stubborn people. Because you sinned against me. It's kind of like this. Do we ever hear the Ten Commandments? The Ten Commandments, right? What are the first four Ten Commandments? Exodus. Jump over to Exodus chapter 20. Well, you don't have to jump there. I'm just going to read the first four. And God, let's start verse 1. And God spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. And then he goes into the commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. Well, we know that doesn't take place a lot of times in Israel, right? And amongst herself as well. 2, you shall not make for yourself an idol. How many times do we have idols? 3rd one, don't misuse the name of your God. Don't blaspheme God. And we'll stop with those 3. All these things against God in the commandments, the first things written down, given to humanity by God were these commandments, and it was all about to what? To honor God. So God will be honored. And I know just speaking as people, we many times drop the ball. So this prophecy in Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39, when everyone says it's going to happen at the end of the beginning of the tribulation, middle of the tribulation, end of the tribulation, or it's going to happen in the millennium, it's going to happen whenever it's going to happen. It's going to happen like, you know, when we saw with Iran and the bombing. Oh, it's happening now. We're in it. Like all the, like you hear all this stuff. My question is, I don't know when it's happening. Like I ask, like, Lord, I know it's going to take place. Cause what? This is what the sovereign Lord says. The sovereign Lord's giving direction to a prophet. The prophet writes it down and we know that for generations was speaking for years of this prophecy. And my question was, why? The simple answer is, so God can make himself known. Our people, so many times, right? We drop the ball where it's about us. Israel as a nation, same thing. There's still a remnant, but they've dropped the ball. And they don't uphold God as their God. And many times, do I do that? Yes, I do. Right? Many times I'm like, man, I dropped the ball. I don't live as I should and uphold God to the spot where he should be. We're talking God. This is what the sovereign Lord says. This will surely take place. And he says to me, he didn't, I wish you'd just say it to me like, Jeff? No, that'd be great, right? But scripture tells me that God is doing this to make himself known to his people. And then so the other nations will know that our sovereign God is God. So when this takes place, when this happens, when this whole thing starts to, I don't know if I'll be around, right? I'll probably be dead by the time this happens. I don't know. But we do know that our God is sovereign. God has given prophecy of this will take place. This is what the sovereign Lord says. And I'm doing this because Israel walked away from me and I threw them into exile because of their sin. I'm bringing them back. And as they come back, they're going to live in peace. And when they're living in peace, they're going to totally forget about me, which many of Israel, they don't follow the Messiah, right? So they're going to forget about me, and I'm going to pull these guys down in for this great big battle, and this great big battle is going to happen, and I'm going to wipe out the other people, and their bones and all the dead people are going to lie up in this great big pile of mess in your country, and all the, you get into 39, all these animals are going to come and feast off of them for like months. They're just going to eat their flesh and drink their blood and have this, the animals are going to love it, right? It's like a free for all. It's like a big barbecue in Israel, right? For the birds. But all this is going to take place, has to take place because I said it's going to take place and it's for one reason. The one reason is that I will be made known. I will be made known. How many times do we fall down and not make God known? I'm going to end up with this. Verse 26, I'll start in. They will forget their shame and all the unfaithfulness they showed toward me when they lived in safety and in their land with no one to make them afraid. When I have brought them back from the nations and have gathered them from the countries of their enemies, I will show myself holy through them in the sight of many nations. Then they will know that I am the Lord their God. For though I sent them into exile among the nations, I will gather them to their own land, not leaving any behind. I will no longer, God says, I will no longer hide my face from them. For I will pour out my spirit on the house of Israel, declares the sovereign Lord. This prophecy we know is coming. We don't know when. We know that peace is going to be rising up in Israel, and could we see that being taken place now? I think so, but who knows, right? What do I know? This is what I know. I know that this will take place. And this will take place for the sole purpose so God can be known. Now, for us, when Jesus rose and ascended into heaven, he gave us a purpose, which we talked about purpose before. For what? For us. He gave us his commissioning to Christians, to believers. For what? To make him known. To make Christ known. To preach the gospel to other people. Not to sit here and debate about timing and prophecies and everything else, because we know that's coming. But without Christ, if this happens now, tomorrow, whenever, without Christ, you're going to hell. Right? And Christ told us, guys, he told the disciples at the time, guys, I'm leaving. This is your job. Because no man comes to the Father except through me. And this through me was his death and resurrection, right? His blood being spilt. And he commissioned us to make him known. To make him known. And people are going to either believe it or not believe it. They're going to reject it or accept it. That's not our call. Our call is... Oh, are we doing that? And if we're not, and if we are, how can we do it better? Right? I ask myself, how can I do it better? What am I missing? I have people that I love that you see walk away from the Lord, and you have people that you've taught, and you see like this growth, and then all of a sudden they walk away from the Lord. Like, what am I missing? All I know is this. We're supposed to make God known. We're supposed to make Christ known. Let's continue to do that. And when you get into the debates about prophecies and everything else, we know it's coming. God says, I'm the sovereign Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. It's coming. It's coming. With all that coming, let's make sure we, as believers, are making him known, right? Making him known, the plan of salvation known. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. You are sovereign. And this will take place. But I do know why. And you told me why. You told us why. To make you known. Lord, give us wisdom as we speak to people that we come in contact with, people that we love, people that might be questioning, might have walked away. Help us, Lord, to just rely on your Spirit to speak out of us. Lord, that's all we can do, that we can live for you and we can speak the truth of the gospel to other people. Help us to do that. Us not to be ashamed of, because we know to be ashamed is a trick. It's a trick. We know what's coming because you told us. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time that we can be together. Lord, I pray for our leaders. Give them wisdom on decisions they make. In your name we pray. Amen. As we're dismissed, there's coffee and donuts and all the good stuff in the back. So have time to just, greet each other and talk. We're dismissed.